May the Lord help us to commence the worship of God this evening with hymn 723. I'll read, as well as verse 1, verse 2 from Heart's Hymn Book, which is not in our book. And then after the organ has played the three verses in our book, I will read the remaining verses of that hymn. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Ho, ye needy, come and welcome, God's free bounty glorify. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings us nigh, without money, come to Jesus Christ and buy. Hymn 723. Garden. Lo, your Maker prostrate lies. On the bloody tree behold him, hear him cry, before he dies, it is finished. Sinner, will not this suffice? Lo, the incarnate God ascended, pleads the merit of his blood. Venture on him, venture wholly. Let no other trust intrude. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good.
May the Lord open our eyes this evening as we read from his word. Two portions. Firstly, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15. And we'll read from verse 21 to 31. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21 to 31. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Now we'll turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews and chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation or behaviour be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Leave the reading of God's holy word there. May he bless that reading unto us, and may he grant each of us now a spirit of real prayer. O most holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity. Oh, we humbly fall now before thee, knowing that thou art the Almighty, Omnipotent, Omniscient, Omnipresent God. Thou knowest and seest all things. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? O Lord, if we can see a little and have a little understanding of how great thou art and how insignificant we are, O Lord, we have but one place to fall, and that is humbly at the throne of grace, with thankfulness in our hearts, but pleading for mercy. But Lord, may we come with that right thankfulness, that there is a way been made through the work of thy dear Son, that finished work, that poor, unworthy, vile, wretched sinners can come unto thee. Oh Lord, what a privilege it is to lay our concerns before Thee in prayer. But how acutely aware we are that we need a breath of real prayer. We can utter vain repetitions. We can have a good outward prayer. But Lord, may there be some prayers from the heart, even now. Lord, for Thou seest the heart. Search our heart, Lord, we pray. See if there be any wicked way therein. Cast out that, Lord, which is abominable in Thy sight. And may we ever desire to have a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. For the road through this life, which is so very short, Lord, to us seems never ending. Seems full of twists and turns. Seems full of pits and snares. Oh Lord, we need that light from on high to shine upon the road, that our eyes may be fixed on Thee. For Lord, how often we find our eyes fixed on ourselves. But Lord, what did that dear hymn writer say? Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus. O Lord, may we have our eyes there this night. And those that have come in with that first hymn that we have had this evening. Lord, Thou knowest if there are any that have been praying that hymn here on their way. Lord, if it be Thy will, those that are in bonds, do set free. Free them, Lord, we pray, from the ties of legality. Free them, Lord, from all that holds them back. Lord, and set them free. Lord, we pray, we beg and we desire that burdened souls may come to that place, drawn by Thy love, where they can feel that great weight of their sin rolled from off their back, knowing that Thy word changes not. Oh, but Lord, may we pray even more for those this evening that may be gathered here, which have no concern for their never dying souls. Lord, we truly beg, make them alive, open their eyes before it is too late. Put that prayer within their heart that they may be asking, that they may be seeking, that they may be knocking. Oh Lord, for Thou hast promised, for those that ask, it shall be given, those that seek, they shall find, those that knock, it shall be opened. And those, Lord, who long for another visit from Thee, Lord, it is through Thy word, applied by the Spirit, that these things are. So as we gather round Thy word this night, may something remain to give us that humble confidence to continue here below, knowing that Thou art in control. For we are truly weak. But Lord, where we are blessed in one way and another with gifts, varying, Lord, in so many ways, may we be given that wisdom to use those gifts wisely, ever remembering why we are here on this earth, to glorify Thee. Lord, may we strip away all else, Lord, and see Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, we get bogged down with our life and we have those daily concerns which we must attend to. But Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest what is needful. Thou knowest how to direct those that are lost. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come into our midst tonight. And we pray for those unable to gather this evening for one reason and another. The parents that may be at home with young children. Those who may be listening in. We thank thee for the means that is available, that those can listen in where they are lawfully detained from thy house. But Lord, may our worship, may our religion be far more than just listening to a sermon. Lord, may it be far more than just hearing the word preached. A vital part, yes indeed. But Lord, may we be desiring in all our conduct to honour thee wherever we are. But Lord, we are poor. We try to hide our light under a bushel. But are we ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom our hopes of heaven depend? Lord, do give us, we pray, that help, that wisdom, that faith to be that right example to those that we meet with, those that we mix with in our daily lives, that we may not be a stumbling block unto them, but that we may be an encouragement, a guide. But Lord, we need thee for that. We pray for each of thy servants that have laboured in thy name today, and may be labouring now this evening. All those that faithfully preach thy word up and down this land, in our denomination and in any denomination where thy word is faithfully preached. Do own and bless thy word, we beg, and give that godly increase. Pray for those that are laid aside at this time. We would remember Mr. Izzard at this time, help him. Increase his strength, if it be thy will, that once again he may be able to labour in thy name. We would remember the neighbouring cause at Fenstanton in their great need. O Lord, thou knowest all things. Help them there, we beg. Graciously appear, Lord, we pray, in that cause of truth. And Lord, we would also remember Tim Parrish as well, been set aside for many months. Give that dear man the patience we would need if we were in that situation. And Lord, do if it be thy will, raise up that faithful servant once again to labour on thy walls. But Lord, while any of thy servants have that strength, Lord, may we use it, that souls may be fed, that, Lord, thy name may be shed forth. Pray for all those in affliction's pathway. And as we prayed this morning, there are so many at this time, in one way and another, whether it be afflictions in body or in mind, Lord, do draw near to those in great need. Renew strength if it's thy will. If it's not thy will, give submission to thy will. Those who may have those hidden burdens, those hidden concerns, which no one knows but them or a few, Lord, do comfort them. And when we pray, may we pray for those whose burdens we do know, but also for those that are in secret. May our desire ever be to bear one another's burdens and so fulfil the law of Christ. Lord, as we go through our daily lives, as we go through another week of time, we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. We truly beg that thou wilt be guiding us through this time. As we believe, all have been kept safe from this virus here up till now. Lord, this is thy judgment upon the land. We pray that this virus will be removed from this land. But Lord, may we desire above that, that our nation will be turned again unto thee. And Lord, if thy hand should go out against us in a greater or a deeper way, Lord, give thy people submission, ever begging and desiring that it will be for the good of the nation spiritually. Thou hast hit the nation's health, Lord. Maybe thou wilt yet hit the nation's wealth, Lord, or whatever else thou dost see fit to touch. We are living in sad and solemn days. We do not deserve, Lord, anything but thy judgment. But there is many mercies that we are surrounded by still, and we thank thee for them. That we can still gather together, that we can assemble for worship. And Lord, as we have a healthcare system to fall back on, Lord, as we have so much, but Lord, how little hunger there is in this land for spiritual health. But Lord, thy work is not finished. Thy work is still continuing. We may be in a day of small things, but thy work continues. We thank thee that there have been those that have been wrought upon to put on that open profession of their faith even this year. Lord, continue, we pray, not for our pride, not for the pride of causes of truth, but for thy glory, that pillars may be raised up to serve thee in thy house. Lord, we would remember thy work in other lands. Those who seek to distribute scripture, those who seek to alleviate the needs of the poor and needy people throughout this world. Thy people, wherever they gather this day, do be with them. Lord, thy work is great in many parts of this globe still. Lord, and we are thankful for it. But come and touch this nation again. Turn us to thee. Be with all young and old tonight. Give each that listening ear, none are too young and none are too old, Lord. Do appear, we beg, even this night. We have no power, we have no might in and of ourselves, Lord. Empty us, we pray, and fill us. Empty us of self and fill us with thy word, that we may be able to pour out unto the people, that they may not go home disappointed, but that they may go home strengthened and encouraged, and that they may know that thou hast met with them in thy house this day. Lord, we ask for great things, for we feel greatly our insufficiency. Oh, but Lord, we draw comfort. Thy disciples, what were they but poor fishermen? What are we, Lord? We are nothing without thee. So we lean upon thee, but we all need to lean upon thee. We can't open our own ears. We can't soften our own hard hearts. But we praise thy holy name that thou canst come in an instant and do this mighty work. May it be so now that souls will be hungry, souls will be thirsty, souls will be fed, souls will be satisfied. Come into our midst, Lord, we pray. May we feel thy spirit, Lord, opening thy word up unto us and to the people before us, that we may rest and lean hard upon it, knowing that thou art all-powerful, almighty, holy, Lord God. Lord, help us now. Come into our midst, we beg. Forgive all that we have asked amiss. Do make up in giving where we fail in our asking. And we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Our next hymn is 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671.
complete dependence upon the Lord to help each one of us this evening, whether in preaching or in hearing. You turn with me to the book of Hebrews and chapter 13. Book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 6. But I'll read from verse 5. Let your conversation or behaviour be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But it's really those words in the middle of that sixth verse that have been laid upon me, I trust, to bring before you this evening. The Lord is my helper. As we come to the end of this book of Hebrews, as is often the case in many of the epistles, we come to exhortations, we come to the practical part of walking out our religion, our professed religion. We have these letters written so that we can solemnly measure ourselves against that which is laid before us. What was the desire in this chapter? We have in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Well, where are we in that exhortation? In verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. How is our hospitality? Not only to those we know and love, but to strangers, to those who we might turn our noses up to. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity. How's our memory of those that are in affliction? How is our sympathy with those? Verse 4. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. How is there that purity within our lives? Where are our lusts? Where are our eyes? Where are our lives? And then we come to the portion concerned with our text. Let your conversation, or let your behaviour, let all your actions be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. But dear friends, this isn't just me lecturing you about what you should be doing. Because if anybody ventures to stand in a situation like this, in a position of authority, we have in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, or behaviour. I fall very short. Brethren, let us pray one for another. But as we look at this portion this evening, really verses 5 and 6 are interlinked, aren't they? Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. And how can we be content? Because he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Whether that be in providence, whether that be in grace, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And if we have that word applied unto our hearts, firmly fixed by the work of the Spirit in our minds, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. It's a great promise, isn't it, those words, I will never leave thee, nor forsake. I will never leave thee. Do you feel alone tonight? Do you feel and long for the Lord to draw near unto you? Dear friends, these words are recorded for you. They are recorded for me. And although we may not feel the depth of them in our hearts, those words never change. Never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Can a woman forget her sucking child? We have in Isaiah's prophecy, is it? Can the Lord forget his people? No. It is an impossibility. It is an utter impossibility. For the work of Christ, as we tried to preach from this morning, is a finished work. And if that work has been begun in you, if you have known a little of his comfort, if you have known a little and felt a little of his presence in times past, although you may not have that hurt, that comfort now, what's changed? The word of God or you? I know who I'd rather trust. It's the word of God. Because we have in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. But how often are we looking there? And how often are we looking to ourselves? I think I may have quoted that hymn in prayer, and I seem to often quote it. Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. We need to look to the Lord as our helper. You know, and as we were just singing that hymn just now, it did so come to me, that first line of that hymn, how shall I come to thee? The Lord is my helper. But Lord, but God, thou art holy, I am evil. The Lord is my helper. But, Lord, I am polluted, I am vile. Yes, dear soul, you are, and so am I. But the Lord is your helper. Because it's not us that cleanses ourselves. It's not us that subdues our pride and our lust and our self-deceit. It's not us that washes ourselves clean. It is the Lord that is our helper. Oh, what a precious truth. What a precious truth. The Lord is my helper. But as I was trying to consider this word yesterday, that word there, the fourth word in our text, my helper. It's a personal thing. It is indeed. And those of you that were at Fenstanton this afternoon will know that I tried to preach from those words of the psalmist in Psalm 62. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be moved. Yes, dear friend, it is you, isn't it, that needs to know that he is your helper. When do we look for a helper? When we need help. When do we need help? When there is something that we ourselves can't do. The Lord often uses providential means to work in the hearts of his people. A circumstance for you younger ones, maybe at school or that learn from home, you cannot understand something. You may offer up a prayer, Lord, help me. Maybe those of you looking to go into employment or get a job, you can't open the door, you can't get over this situation. You need help. So what do you cry? Lord, help me. As you go through your life, through the various stages in life, your school life's behind you, you get a job. Maybe you pray that a husband or a wife may be provided for you. Lord, help me, you cry. And then that passes. As you may get to the middle of your life and you look further on and think, well, my working days are nearly gone, but now I need the Lord to provide for me in my retirement. Lord, help me. Whatever it may be, it is the cry of a needy person, a cry for help. That time, dear friends, will soon come where all those earthly things are gone, all rapidly going. Some stages of our life have already gone. Those years we cannot get back. There is a never-ending eternity before us each. There is a holy God, a just and holy God, who will punish sin. We are sinners. We truly need help. Do you feel it this evening? do you feel your need? That you have no ability, no right, no merit to stand before a holy God. Your cry has to be, Lord, help me. We read that portion, didn't we, in Matthew's Gospel. And I didn't really notice this in considering it yesterday. But that verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. That was worship. That was worship. Why? Because what did she acknowledge? Firstly, the Lord. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord has dominion over all things. The Lord has all power within his hands. She needs to address the Lord. Secondly, she recognized that need. Well, she recognized what she was, poor and needy. So she cried for help. And thirdly, it was a personal cry. Yes, you may say, but she was crying for help for her daughter. In one regard, yes, she was, but it affected her personally. In those three words, she worshipped him. That was true worship. That was faith. What did the Lord say? A simple prayer. A simple response to his question about eating those crumbs from off the master's table. And what was Jesus' response? Great is thy faith. But Lord, I only offered up a simple prayer. But that prayer was from the heart. That prayer was acknowledging who is in control. That prayer was acknowledging that you are not in control. And that prayer acknowledged your need of help. You know, and as I, before I stood up just now, bowed down behind this pulpit, and I trust from the heart, squeezed out those prayers of, Lord, help me. I wonder how many times those three words have been uttered up from this place, many times, many thousands of times. But what about you? What about the edge of your bed? What about your chair? What about where you pour your heart out before the Lord and say, Lord, help me. As I said, that is worship. That is faith. Why is it faith? Well, we have, don't we, in the earlier chapter in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A true heartfelt cry of, Lord, help me, is a cry of hope, a cry of expectation, a cry of faith. As the hymn writer says, my hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. So whatever we are in, whatever trial we may be in, our greatest need is to have an interest in the finished work of Christ. An interest that we are washed in the Redeemer's blood. Dear friends, if we have that firm hope, it's the only way we can be content truly with such things as we have in this world. And why is that? Because we know they'll soon be gone. And we know that there are those treasures laid up in heaven. Moth cannot corrupt that. Thieves cannot break through and take that from you. Sickness cannot rob you of that treasure. No. It's the only way we can be content. The Lord is my helper. You know, and that word helper, as I considered that yesterday, do you know that is the only time that that word is in the New Testament? In that original, that word, in the original language, that word helper. And I'm no scholar, far from it, but it was sweet to me when I looked at that word. That word is made up of two words, to cry and to run. And this helper is one that comes running to you when you cry unto him. The Lord, the one that comes running when I cry. And when do you cry? When do you, children and young ones, cry? When you are in need of help. When you are injured, maybe, when you have hurt yourselves, you cry for help. When does the soul cry? When it needs help. When our eyes are opened to what we are. The Lord is my helper. But you say to me, tonight, I have a certain situation, you say, and I have been crying for weeks, months, years, Lord, help me. And the Lord hasn't helped me. The Lord hasn't appeared for me. The Lord hasn't answered my prayer. What about dear Abraham? What about that dear man? When he had to offer up his son, Isaac. He had to make that journey from Beersheba to Mount Moriah. He had been told to take his son, his only son Isaac, and offer him as a burnt offering. He went, didn't he? But you know, I think that dear man prayed every step of the way, Lord, help me. As he set off, his cry would have been, Lord, help me. As he put the wood, as he tied that wood to the back of his son, as he took that fire in his hand, as he took that knife, and they start ascending that mountain, his cry would have been, Lord, help me. As he took his son, as he bound his son, you know, Abraham had greater faith than me. But what would I have said? Lord, this cannot be right. Lord, you haven't answered my prayer. I thought my prayer would have been answered by now. And I've got to the point of binding my son to this altar. Lord, help me. But he bound him down. He stretched forth his hand. Lord, help me, would have been his cry. He took that knife to slay his son. And as he was about to plunge that knife into his son, the Lord cried unto him, Abraham, Abraham, that help came. Where would we have been? Where would I have been? Oh, the Lord has abandoned me. The Lord hasn't answered my prayer. You know, look where I have got to. But the Lord did answer it. The Lord did hear his cry. But what teaching there was in it. What blessing there was in it. And how needful it was for that dear man to strengthen him, to strengthen his trust in Almighty God. And how often that is the case, till we are brought to nearly our wits' end. We think there is no way out of this. And the Lord appears and we cry, yes, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. But dear friends, maybe you are still in that trial and you think, the Lord will never answer my prayer. It is too late. The Lord didn't answer my prayer, maybe. Well, you're not alone, are you? You're not alone. You're in good company. What about the Apostle Paul? He had a thorn in the flesh. Do you this evening? Do you have the messenger of Satan to buffet you and to try your faith tonight? The Apostle Paul besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from him. He begged him that this situation, whatever it was, whether a physical affliction or an enemy that was nearby him, we don't really know. But it was troubling to him, greatly troubling. The Lord saw fit not to answer his prayer, not to deliver him from the affliction. But what did he give him? Sufficient grace. What a blessing. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Lord was his help. The Lord did help him, not in the way that the Apostle Paul wanted originally. He wanted the thorn removed. He wanted the way to be easier. But the Lord didn't see fit to do that. But the Lord saw fit to grant him sufficient grace to continue in that way. Why? Because when we are weak, then he is strong, for his grace is sufficient. Now, as James says, I believe, he giveth more grace. Have you had to prove that? Have you, in your life? You think that you have come to the end. You think that you cannot carry on anymore. You feel to be in great depths. The Lord is my helper. And in these words this evening, you may notice that that word is in our text, is in italics. So we could read that, the Lord, my helper. there is something sure and certain. It doesn't say the Lord could be my helper. It doesn't say the Lord may be my helper. The Lord might be my helper. The Lord was my helper. It says, the Lord is my helper. We think of the lines of that hymn. He who has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. The Lord is my helper. Our thoughts go to another simple prayer. What did that publican cry? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Two very different prayers in Luke chapter 18 there, isn't there? The Pharisee, he didn't need a helper. He stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, and I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I do this, I do that, I am okay. But no, this publican, he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. One of those two men worshipped God in that parable. And you know who that was, don't you? It wasn't the one that had the outward form of religion. It wasn't the one that looked good and upright and ticked all the boxes. No. It was that one who smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And there was only one of those men who could continue in their journey here below, saying, the Lord is my helper. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Has that been anybody's cry here this past week? God, have mercy upon me. God, I am not as I know I ought to be. God, I seem to be so far off from thee. God, I seem to be so cold. I seem to be so distant. But I'll come back to this point. Has the Lord ever helped you? Have you ever had a word of Scripture truly applied with power to your heart? So that you can say, the Lord has helped me. Yes, it may have been only a little thing, but I think the Lord helped me. We come back to that hymn. He who has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. For it is the Lord that is my helper. I cannot trust in myself. I trust in the Lord God Almighty. I don't trust my feelings anymore. I know that I am hot and cold in half an hour, but his word changes not. Oh, my only hope is that Jesus Christ is not like me, that he will be the same yesterday and today and forever. For I know that my life through many changes goes, my love through many changes goes, but his love, no variation. You know, we may have turned to John's epistles this morning. I think we did, didn't we? But what runs through those epistles? That word, know, K-N-O-W. We know, I know, hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know that the Lord has helped us. So therefore we know that the Lord will continue to help us. The Lord is my helper. But this need of the Lord as our helper will never diminish in the heart of a true-born child of God. You won't have to stop, you will never stop praying that prayer, Lord, help me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why not? Because if, as we must, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we will see more of who God is. We'll see more of his holiness. We'll see more of how unfit we are. We'll see more of our need of the Lord as our helper. We will need him to be that constant helper. I think there are some that may hope. There are some indeed in some places that will preach that you will get beyond this point. That you will reach that state of perfection here below where you no longer need the Lord as your helper. Where you will be almost holy. But as we progress through this life, as events in our lives are sanctified unto us, our need will be greater. We see more of what we are, not less. We see more of God's majesty, not less. Our eyes will be cast down more as we look within ourselves. But as grace is given, we must look up to the Lord as our helper. You know, we have that well-known hymn in our book, don't we? How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled, in every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee. O, be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. Never forget, dear friends, that the hand of God is omnipotent. Look next time when the skies are dark, and the skies are clear. Look at all those thousands and millions of stars and planets and whatever else. Every atom of every planet is under God's control. Every single bit. And it must be. It ever must be. For if there is one minute particle which is out of God's control, God is no longer sovereign. And we can no longer trust in the Lord as our helper. But as we look up, as we marvel at the wonders of creation all around us, as we see and have revealed unto us how mighty this God is. Oh, we can humbly cry, Lord, help me. Lord, be my helper. I know I am nothing, but thou art almighty. Help me continually. Be with me. The Lord is my helper. My thoughts just suddenly go, and I know not why, to Psalm 23. A similar theme, isn't it? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my helper. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art my helper. The Lord, God Almighty, that one who hears and answers the prayers of his people. And what is your prayer tonight? What is it? Is there no prayer? Is there no need of help? Dear friends, we have other promises in his word. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto, if we ask according to his will. Do you desire to know more of Christ? Know more of his hand in your work? Desire to know that your sins are washed away in the Redeemer's blood? Oh, dear friend, that is our greatest need of help, is it not? And as we sung that first hymn this evening, come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. But we do, don't we? We doubt. But if we tarry till we're better, we will never come at all. There's only one way we can come, as the Lord is our helper. But as we draw our thoughts to a close this evening, there is one final point that I feel I must make. And that is those words that are before our text, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Do we say the Lord is our helper? Have you said the Lord has helped you? Maybe there is one or another here, greatly tried about the pathway to take. They humbly trust that the Lord has been their helper, that the Lord is their God, that they have an interest in the finished work of Christ. Dear friends, may we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Why? Because this is God honouring. It is acknowledging that the Lord is all powerful. It is worship. It is praising God. So if we have not put on that open profession of faith, and you know the Lord is your helper, and you are keeping quiet, may the Lord be your helper to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. But, dear friends, not leave out those that may have put on that profession of their faith. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Do we come short in boldly saying, the Lord is my helper? Now, this isn't brashly, this isn't, I can't think of the word, but with unwarranted confidence, this is humbly yet boldly saying, the Lord is my helper. And if we truly know that the Lord has been our helper, we humbly know the Lord will always be our helper. Whatever we feel, his word changes not. If he is our helper, whatever you have before you, may you be content. Content with such things as you have. For if you know the Lord is your helper, you have it all. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when all is left behind, when our bodies are laid in the grave, it doesn't matter anymore. For the Lord is our helper. All those earthly trials, all those trials and tribulations and distresses, the only cry then will be, the Lord who has been my helper. The Lord who I see face to face in glory. If we have a humble hope that the Lord is your helper, he will not abandon his people. And finally, time is going, or gone maybe, my thoughts go to Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the help of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Lord, our helper. Therefore, we can be persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our Lord, the Lord, our helper. May we each put our trust in the Lord. And there's only one way we will ever put our trust in the Lord: if the Lord has already helped us. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. with an address by Mr. Robert Field. Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Philip Warren will preach next Lord's Day at the usual times, 10:30 and 6:30. Our closing hymn is 902. Let him who thirsts for heavenly joys come unto me, the Saviour cries, and drink at my spring head. Leave all your boasting self behind, for from the Saviour you shall find a glorious life indeed. Hymn 902.
May there have been one or another, poor thirsty souls who have drunk from that living water of thy word today, that can truly say the Lord is their helper. So help us now as we leave thy house. Help us now, as if spared, we have another week of time before us. Help us now as we journey to our homes. Help us in all of life's pathway. Lord, be our helper. Now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.